A flash of light shimmers over a globe, like a galaxy in space hovering over a planet. Beneath the planet, the words Touchstone Pictures. The screen fades to black and then a view of New York at first light. A married couple, Cooper and Leah Tilson, are asleep in bed in their New York City house. Leah stretches over and thumps the alarm several times before slumping back onto her pillow and running her hand through her hair. She raises herself up to a sitting position. Her husband rolls over as she lifts herself off the bed.
Remember to reset the clock.
Yeah.
Later, Leah is on an aeroplane. A blonde-haired woman with high cheekbones, she's sitting by a man in a suit who's using a laptop. A flight attendant brings a cup to Leah and places it on the table in front of her.
Look at this. Almost 8% up from last year.
Yeah, but that's a nationwide trend now. What are you thinking? More cutbacks?
I'm not sure. We'll know more after this afternoon. Oh, by the way, I caught the last 10 minutes of your husband's documentary the other night. Really interesting stuff.
I'll let him know. He'll be pleased. It's a real labor of love for him.
He was what, the director?
Yeah, director. Producer. Writer. Voiceover. It's real low-budget stuff.
It's tough to make a living in that business.
The digital clock on the bedside in the Tilsons' bedroom reads 7:56. Light streams across the bed, waking the sleeping Cooper. He looks at the clock.
Oh, shit.
Kids! Up, 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 up! We're late. Your mom forgot to reset the alarm again.
Dressed, he walks into the kitchen with the videotape and lays it on the table. He fetches bowls as his son Jesse comes in.
These shoes hurt.
Well, change them.
The boy's in school uniform.
Kristen!
Pour your juice, Jesse. Just pour your juice.
Cooper spills some coffee.
Where's Mom?
She's in Cincinnati or Chicago, someplace like that.
Kristen enters and sees the clock.
Oh my God, it's late! I have to be at school early today!
That's not gonna happen.
Hey, Dad, do they have a Nike town in Milwaukee?
Jesse goes for the phone.
Hey, Jesse, she is on an airplane.
I know that. I'm leaving her a message.
On the plane?
Leah, I have to make a very big decision by this evening, so let me ask you something. What would you say if I offered you the VP slot?
A hint of a smile appears on Leah's face.
Well?
Her boss, David Miller, leans his head on the back of his seat and looks at her.
Do I have to say yes right now?
He smiles and lifts his head off the seat.
When do we have to be back?
We're booked on the 6 o'clock flight.
Eyes down, he nods and looks thoughtful.
Let's stay over.
He raises his eyes to look at her.
We'll discuss this over dinner.
They gaze at each other. Cooper's on his cell phone in the car.
No, listen, I'm telling you, I'm 5 minutes away.
Dad!
I've got the presentation, I'm ready to roll.
Dad, we have to go.
I'm just around the corner.
Okay, Dad, I really need
all right, I've got it, I've got it.
Cooper's office, Jesse speaking.
Kiddo.
Hey, Mom.
Morning, honey.
Jesse, these new shoes are really hurting.
Okay, honey, we'll go this weekend and get you some Vans.
What you said last week.
Jesse, we gotta go.
Yeah, see you later. Bye.
Good. All right, hang on. Bye, kids. Love you. All right, give me a hug. Let's go. All right, hold your brother's hand. Go on out.
The kids clamber out of the Jeep Grand Cherokee. There's an SUV stuck behind Cooper.
Kristen, hold your brother's hand.
What are you doing? It's almost 8:30.
Well, we ran a little bit behind today. Someone forgot to reset the alarm.
Jesse
runs onto the street.
Don't go over that way.
The SUV swings around Cooper and thunders off.
Jesse, stop! Jesse!
Oh, my God.
Cooper?
Oh, my God! Jesse! Jesse! Jesse!
The boy's sitting up, shaken but unhurt. That evening, Leah arrives home. She deposits her bag on the cabinet in the hall. As she trots upstairs, the bag falls onto the floor. Leah runs across a dimly lit landing and into a room at the far end of it. The two kids are in bed and Cooper is sitting on it reading. Leah slowly walks across to them. She sits at the other side of the bed from Cooper, leans across to pat Jessie's dark head and runs her fingers through Kristen's hair. The two parents sit with their arms round their children.
We've got to get out of the city.
Leah, her eyes moist and her face pale and gaunt, tightly presses her lips together before turning to Cooper with large, doleful eyes.
How are we going to do that?
White letters on a black background, Touchstone Pictures presents a Red Mullet production. Cold Creek Manor.
So what about my job?
Take a year off. Write a book. You always wanted to write a book.
The family are in the car.
Mom, how can we afford something so big?
Well, we would get a lot of money for our house in the city. Big houses in the country cost a lot less than tiny houses in New York City.
Plus, there are some houses that the bank is foreclosed on. That means someone's ran out of money and so the bank can sell it at a really cheap price.
That's screwed up.
Now, so is your attitude, young lady.
They pull into a gas station and diner. Ruby, an attractive dark-haired young woman in a tight V-neck top, walks around to Cooper's window.
Hi. Could you fill it up with unleaded regular, please?
Sure.
The girl wiggles to the pump and takes out the nozzle. She opens the Jeep's flap and unscrews the cap.
I'm gonna stretch.
Cooper gets out of the car.
You want me to check the oil?
That's okay. Great weather.
Ruby washes the windscreen.
Yeah, nice.
Leah watches from the passenger seat.
We're serving lunch. You want me to tell you the specials?
Oh, that's all right. We already ate.
Hey, Mom. Hmm? How many more of these stupid houses we have to see today?
This should be the last one. I couldn't get a range to get inside, so we'll just take a quick look and then we'll be on the way home, okay? Promise.
Where are you guys headed?
Cold Creek Manor.
Ruby's smile fades.
If we just go on down the road here, are we going the right direction?
Yeah, it's about a mile that way.
Thanks.
The now sullen-faced Ruby shakes the squeegee dry and walks away. Back on the road, the Tilsons pass a road sign which reads, Welcome to Bellingham. Soon they're on a tree-lined street with dirt on its surface rather than tarmac adam. The Jeep Grand Cherokee draws to a halt outside some wrought iron gates with leaves entwined around them. The four of them clamber stiffly from the vehicle. They saunter towards the gates, Jessie at the front. Jessie fiddles with a padlock and chain.
Hey, don't fool with that, okay?
Look,
what?
It's unlocked.
Hey. Here, hold.
Cooper hands Jessie his camera.
Padlock? What are you doing?
Dad, you see it? Cooper. Right,
what? Just take a look.
Here. Cooper swings one of the gates open and leads the way up the path. He holds his digital video camera in one hand. The two children follow their father, with Leah bringing up the rear. Cooper turns the camera on the kids, who each hold up a hand.
Dad, Kristen, you stay close to your brother.
Stay together.
Cassie!
Kristen runs off after her brother as Cooper stops by a rusting old pickup truck and gets his first glimpse of the red brick Cold Creek Manor. The kids race through the gardens, past latticework climbing flower frames, towards the large mansion.
Kids, once again, don't go far!
In the midst of the overgrown garden, a half-empty swimming pool with leaves and litter floating on the murky water. The Tilsons stroll in single file along its stone edge and stop to look into it. Cooper leads the way down a dark stairway, branches and leaves acting as a ceiling above his head. His digital video camera in one hand, he brushes overhanging leaves aside with the other as they enter an arched tunnel. They come to a halt outside a door. Cooper pushes it. Cooper guides them up a dimly lit staircase inside the manor. On a landing, he stops and glances into one room. Then he walks slowly into a large room with pale light shining through blinds over the windows. There's a cluttered big desk and chair in front of the larger of the windows, and a rug covers the center of the wooden floor. Kristen fiddles with her top, which is tied around her waist, as the others soak in their surroundings. Kristen studies a painting of an old man with a beard, and Cooper blows dust off a book on the desk.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks, Dad.
Leah spots long-handled tools in a display case.
What are these?
Cooper comes to look.
Those are farming things.
For what?
For farming.
Dad, we got that.
Kristen rubs his shoulder and walks off. Leah and Cooper continue to study the tools in the display case. Later, Kristen and Jesse venture along a dark and undecorated landing. Jesse treads through an open doorway and looks inside a room. The pair of them open a sash window and, leaning through, peer down at a coloured skylight in the roof below. Meanwhile, Leah steps cautiously into a furnished bedroom. She gazes round the unlit room, focusing on the bed covers, which are crumpled. Cooper comes up behind her. Outside, the weather is bright and sunny. In a dim and dusty living room, Jesse and Kristen play on a piano.
We'll buy this house, please. It's so cool, can we?
I don't know. What do you think, Angel?
It's pretty cool.
Mom, what do you think?
We'll see.
She opens shutters. A cop's peeling in at the gates.
We had no intention to break the law.
No harm done. I didn't know the property was on the market yet.
Yeah. Don't bother, young lady. Mobiles do not function in Bellingham.
Leah snaps Kristen's phone shut.
You folks gonna buy it?
We'd like to.
We're thinking about it.
Back in the Jeep Cherokee.
Well, if you decide to buy, better you than some guru and his cult. We could do with some new blood in the county. You kids put your safety belts on now.
Seatbelts.
The kids belt up.
Okay, folks, take care.
The sheriff stands back and, with her thumb stuck into the front of her trousers, stares after the Jeep as it rumbles away. A faultless blue sky. Outside Cold Creek Manor, people are bustling about. Furniture is being loaded into a small lorry and an old pickup truck drives away. Jesse runs up the gravel drive, passing through the shadows cast by large, leafy trees. He makes his way up to his mother, who's with a man with a beard.
Rather than cherry pick the odd nice piece, I'm willing to make a generous offer of $18,500 for the entire contents.
Excuse me, but I'm from New York, okay? Go tell your father I need him down here right now.
Jesse races into the house. Cooper, Kristen, and a couple of men, Stan and Declan, are carrying boxes.
Dad.
Yeah.
I'll meet you.
In a minute, Jesse.
Okay, she said she needed you now.
I know, but I'm busy right now, okay? Stan, Declan, this way. Come on. All right. Stan, put that box right up there.
In a large room with a billiards table in it, Cooper points to where the boxes are to be laid. Jesse wanders into a darkened bedroom where the ceiling slopes and is peeling. He stops by the double bed and looks idly around. He goes to a low wardrobe and opens the wooden doors, one of which has a mirror on the inside. Jesse reaches inside the wardrobe and takes out a camouflage patterned cap, which he examines before popping onto his head. It's a good fit, and he checks out his reflection in the mirror. Jesse reaches into the wardrobe and pushes aside rows of clothes on hangers. He takes out a red jacket and looks at a label inside the collar.
Grady.
He raises his eyebrows and puts the jacket on. Cooper walks into a junk-filled room.
All this goes to?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, what about this room?
Oh, God. So many things.
Cooper goes into a room stacked with filing boxes.
Oh boy, that's paperwork. Maps and more maps.
On top of the boxes are piles of rolled up paper. Upstairs, Jesse climbs up and looks on top of the wardrobe. He blows dust off a scrapbook and opens it. Puzzled, he frowns and pulls the scrapbook off the top of the wardrobe, climbs down and goes and sits on the bed with it. He starts flicking through the scrapbook. When he arrives at a yellow page, he begins reading a rhyme above a rough sketch of what looks like a hole in the ground.
Hammer hand will find the weak. Hurl them down to rot and reek. Bash your skull and toss you in. Your pain is short, your your blood runs thin. Strong are spared to breed and spawn. Graze around, the devil's yawn.
Downstairs, Cooper flicks through some photographs of the last occupant's children, a young boy and a girl with a brace. Cooper smiles to himself as he looks at a picture of the boy in the woods with a rifle. He picks up another envelope and flicks through the photos. There are some pretty normal family snaps, but he frowns as he finds some pictures of a young blonde woman showing her breasts, posing provocatively and giving the camera the finger. Leah comes into the room behind him.
What are you doing?
Just going over all these papers.
He quickly puts the pictures away.
Kids are starving. You want to go eat?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too.
Look at this.
Is that this house?
Yes, look at that.
Wow.
It was taken in the 30s. Look at that car. Isn't that great? Look at the yard.
Doesn't look like that now.
No, but it will again.
Think so?
After you mow it.
He hugs her and gives her a kiss.
Let's go eat. I'm hungry.
Okay.
Leah heads out of the room. Cooper lags behind and takes a moment to bury the envelope of vaguely pornographic photos beneath a pile of paperwork before following after his wife. Outside, the family pile into the Jeep Grand Cherokee and head off to town, Cooper at the wheel. Sticking up out of the gravel drive is a small wire item with some blue plastic attached to it. Later, the family are sitting at a table in Pinsky's diner finishing their meal.
Kristen, would you mind hanging up the phone and joining the rest of us for dinner, please?
Great. All right, then, hot drinks, who are the tea?
Right now.
Oh, she has the tea.
You have the tea?
Yeah, for
you and cream and sugar. I'll take some cream.
And how do they have any right to be dumping his stuff?
They bought it. They bought everything, you know.
So they could rent a locker, they could put it in storage.
The proprietor returns.
And the cream.
Great.
Everything's, food's okay?
Yeah, good.
Everything's good.
Hey, I'm Cooper, by the way.
Ray Pinsky. Great to meet you.
This is Leah. Kristen.
Hi.
Jesse.
Jesse?
Yeah.
Kristen.
Hey.
Oh, my
Hi.
Wife.
I'm Ellen Pinsky. Hi, this is our daughter, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi.
Stephanie.
Hi. Do you kids like horses?
Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, Stephanie has a horse, and I think he needs feeding right now. Would that be okay?
Yeah, sure. Hey, hey.
Cool.
Wanna go?
Kristen, why don't you go, too? Hmm? Go on. Go. Go. Now.
Why don't you leave that cell phone here with me? Then if someone calls, I can tell them where you are.
An extremely sulky Kristen throws the phone down and goes.
They're at that age. Kids love horses.
Well, basically, she loves cell phones, but I'm hoping she'll move into horses eventually.
Ray and Ellen laugh.
Hey, really, come on, sit down.
Ray and Ellen sit at the Tilson's table. Over at the counter, Ruby notices.
Oh, good. They're bonding with the Pinskies.
The locals snicker.
And five.
Five.
Well, then you're locals then, huh?
Oh. Well, I mean, I don't want to go that far, but we've been here a long time.
Yeah, it takes time to get there. I mean, we send everyone Christmas cards every
year. The Christmas cards.
But I haven't got one back yet.
Okay, now this is a bit of a sore point, but I mean, I don't think it's anything personal, you know?
Did you guys get a card? I didn't get a card.
I got two cards.
Oh, you're kidding.
You didn't get a card.
I got a card.
I didn't get a card. I'm so excited.
It was about to fall down.
The ceiling was coming down.
It was empty.
Wait, you're putting money back into the community.
Exactly. Money back into the community. That's right, Cooper.
Money back into the community. That's what we always say.
Yeah. We always say that.
Yeah.
How about that blue truck out in the...
Out front?
Parking lot. Yeah. Is it for sale?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he wants a truck. Hmm? Want the truck?
Well, I might, yes.
We do?
We need a second car.
Well, that's news to me.
You gotta take it.
It's a great truck.
I mean, it's a beautiful truck. I'll do you a good deal on it.
Ray, I'll do you good.
I'll do great.
You better.
Oh, I will. Just a little work.
The picture fades to black. It fades up on another day at the house. It's morning, and a spider's web hangs between some thistle heads in the garden. Leah and Cooper lead Jesse and Kristen down the stairs.
Yeah, I want you to
Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
What this could be. Okay.
Here comes a step. Ready, step. Here comes another step. Ready, step.
Dick, I'm outside.
Okay, our neighbors are here. Hi, Ray, Ellen.
Good morning.
Hello. You think Stephanie's holding?
A pony.
We'll take a look.
Oh, my God! You guys are the best!
Delighted, Kristen hugs Leah.
He likes it.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Kristen runs up into the horse box and joins Stephanie with the pony and pats it. Leah turns to Ellen and Ray.
Want some coffee?
Oh, I'd love some.
Yeah. Come on in. Yeah.
She's so kind.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, good to see you.
Okay, have fun.
The grown-ups go into the house and the children lead the pony out of the horse box. Leah and Cooper show Ellen and Ray around the house.
This is my office.
This is your office?
Yeah.
What's all this stuff?
It's all, things from the family that lived here before.
The family lived here before?
Yeah, the Masseys.
Gosh,
holy. Yeah.
What's this?
Yeah. What's this, Final Days?
Well, this is a timeline of the,
hey, Ellen,
of the Massey family.
It's incredible. Oh, that's incredible. What a project.
Well, it's what I do. I do documentaries.
Yeah, yeah. It's
what's this?
Oh, that's the family that lived here before. That's the pool.
Oh, listen, hey, if you guys want to swim, just come over to our pool.
Oh.
That's Grady.
No,
Grady and...
Where'd you get that?
Are these tapes?
They're beautiful kids.
Well, they're gonna want that box.
Well, they can have it.
You just found the tapes here.
Yeah, they were in a closet.
In a closet?
Yeah. We bought the house and the contents.
How much of this footage do you have?
Miles and miles.
It's footage of the family's kids in the pool. Outside, Jesse hits stones with a plank.
Row you down the double stroke. And her hand quick.
Kristen and Stephanie ride their ponies. It's high summer and the trees are in full leaf. Coal Creek Manor is bathed in full sunshine. In the kitchen, Cooper and Kristen are cooking lunch.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
Thanks so much for Chester. I really love him. I don't want any present for the next, 5 years, seriously.
Yeah, I really believe that. I'm glad, honey. Are you happy here?
So happy. I really like Stephanie, too. We like the same kind of stuff.
What about Jesse? Think he's happy?
I think he's happy. He's really into Grady and all his old stuff.
In the study, a man in his early 30s looks over Cooper's video editing equipment. The man switches on an illuminated film cell viewer on which are 6 photographic negatives. The viewer flashes, bathing the man's heavily stubbled face in flashing light. The light flickers over pictures of the previous family that lived in the house. Cooper is pinned to a notice board. The man looks up from the viewer and sees Jesse looking at him from the doorway. Jesse shrinks away and goes and finds Cooper and Kristen in the kitchen.
Dad, there's some really, really weird guy looking at all your stuff.
What?
Cooper comes up behind the man who wears a camouflage cap.
May I help you?
The man has his back to Cooper.
Excuse me.
The man turns around, smiling.
I'm Dale Massey. I used to live here.
Cooper Tilson.
Nice to meet you.
This is my wife, Leah.
Pleasure, ma'am.
They shake.
Hey, young man.
It's Jesse and...
young lady?
Kristen.
I smell burning.
He walks towards the family, who look around, perplexed.
What's cooking?
A bit later, everyone sits around the kitchen table. The family watch uneasily as Dale gorges himself on a vast quantity of food. Cooper looks uncomfortably at Leah, who glances back at him, then sips her drink. Mm. Dale licks his fingers and carries on munching, seemingly unaware of the strained atmosphere. Kristen glares at him disapprovingly. Dale belches. Dale and Jesse share a smile until Jesse catches the family's disapproving stares. Dale indicates he's had enough.
Oh, so tasty, Mrs. Tilson.
Leah smiles.
Thank you.
She puts her hand in front of her mouth. Dale turns to Cooper.
Okay. Speech time.
Kristen, Jesse,
Why don't you go see how Chester's doing? Okay?
Kristen and Jesse get up from the table and go out of the room. Dale looks quizzically at Cooper.
Chester?
It's a pommy.
Oh, nice. Feel all right if I smoke in here?
Sure.
Thank you.
Dale takes a box from his shirt pocket and removes a roll-up cigarette from it. He puts it in his mouth and lights it with a Zippo. Leo watches with an air of disapproval as he sucks in a thick cloud of smoke deep into his lungs. Cooper watches him uneasily.
It's okay. This. It's okay.
Dale flicks a mash onto his plate.
I screwed up.
He nods and takes another drag.
Bank took everything. You bought it. You're doing a great job. This place is going to be gorgeous. Really gorgeous.
Look, Mr. Massey.
Oh, Dale, please, call me Dale.
Dale, we feel bad. And if there's anything in there that you want to take, just go right ahead. It's yours.
Please, don't feel bad. A house is just a shell, right? You live in it for a while, then things change. Now it's yours.
He smiles wryly. Cooper smiles thinly back.
I do have one question for you, though.
Cooper nods, and Dale leans conspiratorially across the table towards him and Leah. He takes another drag on a cigarette.
Do you know what you're getting yourself into?
The couple stare back at him, tense and expectant.
Restoring this house.
Relieved, Leah smiles.
Yeah. We thought that it would take about 2 years, just, you know, to get it kind of, you know.
I just got out of jail.
Cooper sits back in his chair. Leah steeples her fingers in a contemplative manner. Dale drags on his cigarette.
3 years for an accident that wasn't my fault.
He looks down and stubs the cigarette out, then looks up at his hosts.
I need a favor.
They regard him apprehensively.
I'm asking you both for a break here. I really need a job. Now I know this house better than anybody. I might help you fix it up. We could start with that pool. I mean, that is one beautiful pool out there, Mrs. Tilson. My grandmother put that in 1926. You know that? I mean, I could have you and the kids in there by Friday at the latest.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it needed relining.
Relining? Who told you that? That's nonsense.
Cooper leans forward and glances at Dale.
Oh, okay. Why don't we start out with a pool? And then we'll see how it goes from there.
Thank you.
Dale smiles and looks from Leah to Cooper.
I think we're going to be good friends.
Dale glances down.
I gotta use a restroom, may I?
Yeah, it's right out the hall into the... What? You know where it is.
No sweat, Mr. Tilson.
Dale gets up and heads out of the kitchen. Later, Dale, Cooper and Leah stroll out of the front door and walk out onto the drive. Dale turns back to the Tilsons and shakes hands with Cooper.
Well, thanks again for dinner.
Yeah.
Sleep well.
He walks back, looking up at the house.
It's gonna be great.
Leah turns to Cooper.
Maybe you should offer him a ride.
Cooper doesn't look keen.
Okay, be mean.
They watch as Dale walks off past the blue pickup truck.
Where the hell is he going?
Back to prison.
Nice.
Leah goes back into the house. Cooper turns around and looks up at the house for a moment before following his wife back inside. Dusk. Wispy clouds are tinged pink by the setting sun. Dale walks up to an aluminium trailer and knocks on the side of it. He puts his hands in his pockets and leans against the side of the trailer. The door is opened, and Ruby looks out.
Hello, stranger.
Hi.
He walks over to the doorway.
Hi.
Ruby's wearing a short skirt and red top.
I was just making something to eat.
Oh, yeah?
But I ran out of bread.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Dale puts his hands up her skirt and pulls her knickers down to just below her knees. Ruby steps out of her underwear, and Dale stares up at her.
You want some iced tea?
Later, Dale takes Ruby vigorously from behind in the trailer.
Oh, you fuck!
He collapses on top of her. Dale withdraws and stands up, pulling on his jeans. Next day, the Tilsons are discussing Dale around the breakfast table.
I think he's a creep.
Kristen.
Do we have to have him around?
I told him that we would see how it went, so we'll see how it goes, okay?
Yeah. Dink and Dale outside.
You ready, Dale? Yeah.
Dink starts a pump in a shed, and Dale watches as water squirts out of a pipe in the ground. Dale kneels down and feels where the pipe is leaking from.
All right, kill it.
Dink goes back into the shed and turns the pump off. Dale gets to his feet and shakes the water off his hands. He turns around and looks back at the house. Kristen and Jesse are with Chester in the woods. Jesse wears camouflage clothes and cocks an underlever action toy rifle. Kristen steps up to him.
Ready?
Ready.
She pulls his cap over his eyes.
No peeking.
Okay. 100, 99, 98.
Kristen runs off into the trees.
86, 89, 82.
She runs over the leaf-strewn ground, pauses for a moment, then runs off to her right, hopping over a fallen branch as she goes.
67, 66, 52.
Kristen runs between some tall trees and finally hides behind one of them. She looks back the way she came for any sign of Jesse. When he doesn't appear, she looks down and something on the ground catches her eye. She kneels down and picks up a stick, which she uses to brush aside some leaves. She brushes some more away with her hand. Underneath is a wooden board. She clears some more leaves away from an inscription carved into the board. She reads it.
Evil.
It's carved in capital letters. As she looks at it, Jesse aims his toy gun at her head and cocks it.
Devil's throat!
She gets up.
You're it.
I'm not playing it.
She shoves him and he falls over. Back in the house, Dale, stripped to the waist, his muscular torso glistening with sweat, walks through the hall. He goes into the study where Cooper is working on his film.
Sorry to bother you, sir.
Yeah?
We're gonna need to spend a little money on the pump out there. Is it okay to send one of the boys to the store?
Sure. Sure. Just give me a second, okay?
No problem.
Architecture was a mass-produced American architectural innovation.
New York, New York, huh? Cast iron architecture. You got a lot of great equipment.
Mass-produced American architectural innovation of the 19th century.
Irritated, Cooper glances over his shoulder at Dale, who walks across the study and looks through the doorway into the next room.
Yeah, this room used to terrify me when I was a kid. Cast iron architecture. It's my daddy's study.
Cooper takes his wallet out of his pocket.
How much?
Couple hundred max.
Cooper hands Dale some notes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dale looks at the case of agricultural implements.
What do you make of these?
I don't know.
You're a historian, right? What do you think they're for?
I have absolutely no idea. What are they for?
They're killing hammers. Back in the day, Cold Creek Farm was in its heyday. There were 20,000 sheep here.
He holds a hammer.
Come the season, they were slaughtering 1,000 a day. That's a lot of bullets, right? So my grandfather and his blacksmith, they designed these. Pretty cool, huh? Check this out. Look at the spike. Straight into the brain. Small little clean hole right through the skull. Bam. No bone splinters. And no pain. Design got better and better over the years. Then the bolt gun came out, it became redundant.
Seems to be one missing.
Yeah.
Cooper turns away from the hammer case and looks over at Dale, who takes some of the old photographs out of an envelope. Cooper goes back to his editing equipment.
Hey, what am I doing gabbing here? We both have jobs to do, right?
He throws the photos down on the table. It's the batch containing the slightly dubious nude photos. The swimming pool has now been restored to its former glory. Kristen and Stephanie play with a beach ball in it. Jesse joins in the game. Leo walks through some trees towards the pool, wearing a loose shirt over her swimsuit.
Come in. Feels so good.
Yeah, water's great. Come on. Okay, look. If you'll get in, I'll clean my room.
Oh, okay? You never will do that. This is wrong, right?
Leo walks down the steps into the water.
Oh, it's nice in here.
She dives in and swims a length of the pool underwater. Dale has been mowing the grass nearby and walks over to the edge of the pool Leo is swimming towards. Leo surfaces and sees Dale standing over her.
Hi. Oh, nice job.
Thank you, Mrs. Cousin.
Leah.
Like the jet, right?
Yeah.
Kristen glares at Dale.
Oh, we didn't know it was going to be this hot.
I don't think your daughter likes me very much.
Oh, sure she does. She's just a bit shy.
She's a pretty girl.
Yeah.
He looks at Leo.
Just like her mama.
Flattered, Leah smiles up at him. Cooper strolls through some trees near the pool and sees Dale talking with his wife.
When do you get to see your children?
Dale suddenly looks somber.
Not since the day their mother took off.
Not knowing what to say, Leah nods and smiles thinly at him.
It's a big country.
He glances over his shoulder.
If you want to disappear, you just disappear, I guess.
Cooper walks on.
Yes.
Dale spots Cooper and waves.
Hey.
Come
on in.
I don't know. Maybe later.
Yeah, the water's fine.
I got a lot of work to do.
It's fine.
In Bellingham, Ruby trots along the sidewalk with her arms full of shopping. Sheriff Ferguson standing by her squad car holding a pizza box against her waist. She checks her watch, then sees Cooper emerge from a hardware store. He loads some planks onto the back of his blue pickup truck.
So he did it.
She smiles.
Ah, yeah. Probably a foolish thing, but yeah. Couldn't resist.
And Dale Massey's working for you?
Ruby walks up.
Yeah.
Cooper closes the back of the pickup, then walks over.
Hey, can I ask you something?
Shoot.
Why was Dale in prison?
He had an accident with his car. He ran some guy over and the guy died. Massey was sent down for manslaughter. It was before my time here. I was in the Army.
Okay, can we go?
Yeah. Met my sister?
Yeah.
Hi, Ruby.
Nice to see you.
Ruby gets in the squad car.
Oh, who was Theodore Massey?
Dale's father.
Well, there's no record of his death.
Well, makes sense. He's still with us. Barely. He's in the nursing home in Greensville.
She gets in the car.
He's a big asshole. It'll be a public holiday when that guy dies.
Cooper shifts about on his feet.
Nice to see you. Regards to your family.
Cooper wanders back to his pickup. Leah is in the overgrown Massey family cemetery picking flowers. She shakes out a bunch of yellow and purple flowers, then turns and notices a headstone with a worn description. In loving memory of Jeremiah Massey, died August 6, 1945, aged 79 years. Leah walks back towards the house, past a row of trellis columns. Hearing the screams, Leah runs to find Kristen, Jesse and Stephanie standing by the pool. Dale wades in and grabs a snake.
Take it easy, guys. I got him.
Oh, my God.
I got him. He's harmless, guys. I promise you, Mr. Tilson, you don't need to be scared of this.
He climbs out.
Triangle heads. Those you gotta be careful of. Those are poisonous. This one here, twist him around. This one here, he's got a straight head. See, Jess? You can touch him. I promise you. Feel his texture. Feel.
Hey, Mr. Tilson.
Hi.
You want to hold it?
Oh, God, no.
It won't hurt a flea.
No.
You folks are going to live out in the country. Can't go around being scared of all God's creatures.
Dale smiles at the terrified group.
It's the heat that brings him out.
He nonchalantly raises his eyebrows, then turns away.
Come on, little fella. Put you back where you belong.
He carries the snake away. Cooper turns to Kristen.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What happened?
There was a snake in the middle of the pool, and Jesse was right in the middle.
Yeah, I was right in the middle. And then Dale came up, and he got me, and he took me out, and then he got the snake.
Cooper drives past a sign, Rest Haven Convalescent Home. Tall pine trees line the narrow driveway. Inside, Theodore Massey lies sleeping in his room. He's a grey-haired, bearded man with a heavy, pinched brow. An attractive blonde nurse, Janice, walks into the room, followed by Cooper. Janice leans over Theodore.
Mr. Massey. Mr. Massey, you got company. He's awake. He just needs time to revive.
Bright-eyed Janice walks out. Cooper, with a bag slung over his shoulders, looks around uneasily. Cooper surveys the small, primitive room. Bright sunlight filters through half-open curtains. Cooper tentatively steps to the end of the bed. He takes out his digital video camera and removes the lens cap. He pulls out the viewing screen, switches the digital video camera on, and positions it on a table at the end of the bed, pointing at Theodore.
Dale!
Theodore's head moves slightly.
No, sir. My name is...
Fix that lower gate!
Mr. Massey?
Them heifers get out. A truck will kill one, or hurt it bad enough, or I'll have to put them down.
I'll be sure and check again.
You better do more than check, you little bastard. I'll whip you so hard you'll shit blood, you lazy good-for-nothing.
Mr. Spirit. Massey, I'm not Dale. Huh? My name is Cooper Tilson, and I'm studying the history of Coal Creek Manor, and I was hoping that you could talk to me about the place.
I don't talk to the government.
I'm not from the government, sir.
Chocolate cherries.
Cooper frowns.
Chocolate cherries.
Chocolate cherries, bottom drawer.
He nods to his right.
What are you waiting for Christ's sake? Come on, come on.
Cooper goes to a bedside chest and opens the bottom drawer.
All right.
Cooper takes out an open box of chocolate cherries and offers them to Theodore. He takes one and munches it. Cooper sits by the bed, watching.
Okay, okay, I'll talk. Hoof and mouth. Wiped everything out. Maybe we did cook the books a little bit. What the hell are you going to do about it?
Nothing, sir. That was a long time ago.
Bang with a hammer. Bang with a hammer. Until they were all dead. All of them.
Who was dead?
10,000 sheep in 3 days. Bang, next, bang, next, bang, next. You didn't have a stomach for it. Poop, poop. Didn't even kill it. Wriggling on the floor, making noise. I had to finish it off myself. You see, you have to hold it like this, you know? Pop. One bang on the head. It's better than a bullet, cheaper anyway. Straight into the brain. Dead. Give me another cherry.
Cooper's digital video camera films him taking another chocolate cherry.
Down a devil's throat. No spine is that's what happens when your mama's a whore. Running off with any old cock of the walk. Pissed for brains as well. Come on.
He reaches for a framed photo. Cooper hands it to him. It shows Dale with his wife and two children.
They'll always be there, you know. Thank the Lord. Cold Creek Manor. You know, Tammy, Grady, Lorna. Give me another cherry.
I'm sorry, sir. They're all gone.
You little shithead. Nurse!
Cooper springs out of his chair and grabs his camera.
Oh, Mr. Massey, what's all the yelling for?
Thank you, Mr. Massey.
Give my regards to President Bush.
I sure will.
He means the older gentleman. Yeah. It was lovely meeting you.
Thank you. You too.
Good luck with the house.
Cooper walks out. Janice takes the photo.
Just have a visitor, Mr. Massey?
He's from the president.
No, he's not. He bought your house.
What? You say you stupid little bitch.
She leans close to his face.
He owns Cold Creek Manor.
She pecks him on the cheek, then goes.
Yeah? Dale! Dale!
Dale's with Ruby in her trailer home. On the bed, Ruby tries to kiss Dale. Disinterested, he leans up and puffs on a cigarette. Pale moonlight glows on the tiled, pitched roof of Cold Creek Manor. White curtains flutter in the open window of one of the upstairs bedrooms. A dim light filters along the hallway. Morning. A light sky hangs above Cold Creek Manor, which is surrounded by tall, lush, mature trees. Kristen's lying asleep in bed. Jesse comes in. He walks over and leans down to Kristen's ear.
Cock-a-doodle-doo!
Oh, my God.
Wake up, sleepyhead.
Go lay an egg.
Roosters are boys.
Shut up.
He walks out, then pops his head back in.
Hey, wake up!
Go away!
Cooper dries his hands and walks from his bathroom into the bedroom where Leah's bunched up under the covers. Cooper puts on his watch.
I'm gonna make breakfast.
Cooper walks out. He passes Jesse on the stairs.
Ah, he makes his own breakfast.
Jesse carries a hot drink and a bowl of cereal upstairs. Nailed with batons to the ceiling is a sheet of clear plastic. A snake slithers around in the gap. Kristen bleedily opens her closet and looks through some clothes. Leah, wearing a t-shirt and knickers, gets out of bed and wanders to her bathroom. As she walks away, a snake moves around under the crumpled sheets. In the kitchen, Cooper closes a cereal box and takes a carton of milk to the fridge. As he puts the milk in, a punnet of strawberries drops on the floor. Jesse's sitting cross-legged on his bed with a big pair of headphones on. As he tucks into his cereal, a gold and grey striped snake moves along the carpet under the bed, its tongue waggling. Leah, with an undone pair of jeans on, goes and sits on her bed. She stops and listens. She slowly turns her head. The snake continues to move the sheets. Cooper bends down in front of his fridge and picks up the strawberries. He reaches under the fridge, then yanks his hand out. Cooper looks down and reaches under again. Leah grabs her bedsheet and yanks it off. She flies backwards, petrified. A snake pops out of Kristen's closet and she recoils. Cooper finds a snake under the fridge and springs up. Kristen runs out onto the landing as Cooper runs upstairs. Leah emerges frantic as the brown, black and white striped snake drops down from the plastic on the ceiling. It lands on Cooper's back. He jumps around hysterically. A bulbous snake moves across the living floor as Cooper hustles Leah and Kristen up some stairs. Jesse's on his bed, still listening to music and flipping through a book. The others appear at the door.
Jesse!
Hey!
I'm
Cooper sidesteps in and picks Jesse up. They all go into another room and are confronted by a rattlesnake squirming in the corner. Cooper leads them round a corner to another room and opens the door. A snake lunges. Cooper slams the door.
Calm down! Just everybody calm down! Up the stairs! Go!
Jesse, go!
Go! Up!
They scramble up a narrow staircase. Dale parks a red pickup in front of the house. He and Dink get out. Stan drives up. Leah, Jesse, Kristen and Cooper burst out of a doorway and run onto the roof. Cooper slams the door shut and leans against it. A snake slithers through a gap at the base of the door. Cooper moves away. He grabs a piece of metal and holds it on both sides. He slowly approaches the snake and guillotines its head off.
We're coming up.
Hey, Chester.
You okay, Dick?
Yeah.
You're coming down. All right, Jess, you ready?
No,
you got a clear
no,
path. You're going to be okay. My boys are down there. Hang on to the side. I promise you. We want to get you out of the house.
Yeah.
You
can do it.
You got him, Dick?
Yeah.
All right, Kristen?
Seriously, no more snakes. No, like...
No problem. Come on.
Yeah.
I promise you.
You can do it.
Hang on to my hand. Hang on to my hand there. All right, sweetie.
You can
Hang
do
on
it.
To the side.
Yeah.
All right, Mrs. Tilson, you ready?
Yeah. No.
You got it.
Oh,
I promise you. We want to get you out of the house.
Okay.
Hang on to my hands. Okay?
All right. Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Declan, meet her halfway, okay? You okay?
Cooper frowns heavily.
Yeah.
Cooper gestures.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
All right. Coming down. Mr. Tilson, take it slow. We all clear, Declan?
Yeah. All right.
Scowling indignantly, Cooper goes through the door. Later, Dale's standing with his two ragged-looking colleagues. Dale throws out his hands to them. They gesture towards the house. Leah, Cooper, Jesse, and Kristen are sitting around the large wooden kitchen table. Dale comes in.
Honey, sweetheart, they assured us there's no more snakes in this
house. Hi, Dale.
He stands by the door. They all look at him.
There's more food if you're hungry.
No thanks, Mrs. Tilson. I really came to say goodbye.
Where are you going?
He ambles in with his eyes on Cooper.
Listen, I understand how you feel.
Cooper stares at him.
Might have been more manly to tell me to my face, so...
Cooper glances down and sighs.
You're right. And I apologize.
Dale nods slightly and reaches towards Kristen. She pulls away.
It's a pleasure meeting y'all.
He walks out.
Pleasure meeting you, Dale.
Leah looks at Cooper.
Great job integrating with the locals.
It's for the best.
He sips some water.
The best for who? You?
He slams his glass down.
Maybe we should go feed Chester.
Jesse starts to smile.
Oh, Miller time.
Jesse, I've told you like 18 times, but that's not what it means.
Then what does it mean?
I thought it was the right thing to do.
Jesse and Kristen go. Cooper clears plates.
What is your problem with him?
That guy put the snakes in our house.
Why would he do that?
Because he still thinks this is his house. He wants us out.
Oh, come on. I'm sorry, Cooper, but I'm having trouble relating to this.
Well, you don't seem to have a hard time relating to him.
Meaning what exactly?
As he clears up, he glares at her.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Cooper takes more plates to the sink. Sitting with her arms folded, Leah sighs and taps her fingers on her arm.
Dave Miller asked me to sleep with him.
Cooper turns to Leah, frowning.
What?
Cooper paces round and leans on a worktop.
Dave Miller.
Yeah, Dave Miller. Hit on me on the airplane. He offered me the VP spot and then asked me to spend the night with him in Chicago.
Cooper's face is rigid, his mouth frowning.
What did you do?
What did I do? I moved out here into the middle of nowhere with you. I turned into some 19th century housewife, which was
great for a while. It felt like this weight was lifted off my shoulders and you were the one who was supposed to carry us through, but that is not what's happening. We're drowning here.
No,
and
no,
it
no,
is
that's not what I
time
said.
To
I,
get
I
out.
I said, what did you do?
Enraged, he leans on the table towards her. Looking down, she shakes her head.
I said yes.
Cooper shakes his head incredulously.
But then I called you on the phone. And that was the day that Jesse was very nearly killed by that car. Cooper, that was a wake-up call for me.
So, that's why you agreed to come out here, right?
He goes. Tears run down Leah's cheeks. She looks up, her eyes red and watery. That night, Cooper, wearing chinos, a checked shirt, and a denim jacket, drives up to Pinsky's diner. A couple of floodlights wash up the tall bar wall onto the red Pinsky's sign. Cooper stops by the gas pumps. He gets out of his Jeep Grand Cherokee and goes into the shop section. He grabs a couple of cartons of milk from the fridge. Ray Pinsky leans through from the bar area.
Hey, buddy.
Hey. Hey, how are you? Hey, I understand Steph and Kristen, they're gonna go on a shopping spree with their moms.
Yeah. Hey, look, can I buy a drink?
No, I gotta get back.
Oh, come on, one beer's not gonna kill you. No. Cooper, word to the wise. Be cool around here, okay?
I didn't come here to start a war, Ray.
Exactly. All I'm saying is come in, buy a round of drinks, show there's no hard feelings between you and Dale. What do you say?
Cooper thinks for a moment.
Come on, I'll buy you a beer.
Sitting at the bar, Cooper raises his glass to Dale and his buddies, who are hanging around the pool table. A bar waitress hands out beers. Cooper glances at a sign, Miller Time. Leaning on the bar, Cooper sips his drink and runs his hand across his face. Dale, stern-faced, is leaning on the pool table. Ruby wraps her arms around him.
Take a shot, man.
Ruby flops round in front of Dale and plants a kiss on his lips. Dale pushes her away, sticks a lit cigarette in his mouth, and lines up a shot. Ruby wanders away from the pool table with a drink in each hand. She sips one through a straw and puts it on the table. Wearing a black skirt and top with capped sleeves and a plunging V-neck, Ruby weaves her way heavy-footed to the bar. She slaps a soft pack of cigarettes onto the bar and heaves herself onto a stool next to Cooper. She drunkenly turns to him.
You still buying?
Yeah. What are you drinking?
They look at each other.
Vodkas. Two.
Two?
One. Ray fills two slim tubular shot glasses with vodka and puts them on the bar. Ruby pushes one towards Cooper and picks up the other, grinning.
One for me, one for you.
They down the drinks in one. Ruby peers in her cigarette packet, then holds up two fingers to Ray behind the bar.
Two more.
Dale leans on the edge of the pool table and stares intensely across at Ruby and Cooper, his forehead heavily lined. Ruby takes out a cigarette.
It's Cooper, right?
Ruby.
He points at her. She puts the cigarette in her mouth.
I'm a funny guy, Cooper. Funny.
She struggles to strike a match on a matchbook. Cooper takes it.
Let me help you.
Such a gentleman.
Cooper strikes a match and lights Ruby's cigarette. She takes a long drag. Cooper blows out the match and rubs his eye. Ruby leans to Cooper, her mouth slightly open. She rests her head on his shoulder and whispers something in his ear. Cooper frowns, perplexed. Ruby sits back onto her stool.
Did you hear what I said?
No, I didn't. What?
She leans over again.
Don't fuck with him. He'll rip your fucking head off.
Ruby leans closer and licks Cooper's ear. He recoils. Ruby moves away and licks her lips. Swaying slightly, she hoists herself off her stool and walks off, brushing Cooper's shoulder as she goes. Cooper's eyes glaze. Unnerved, he holds his empty shot glass up to Ray.
Got another one of these?
Ray, who's drying a glass, gives Cooper a look and pours another vodka. Cooper sees Sheriff Ferguson in the store. They wave to each other and she wanders away. Cooper downs his drink. Dale, wearing a red, blue and white checked shirt, ambles up to the bar. His light brown hair hangs in disarray. He points two fingers at Ray, who pours bourbon into two stumpy square shot glasses. Cooper stares ahead stonily. Dale picks up one of the drinks.
It's my birthday. What do you say?
Dale downs his bourbon. Cooper takes the other one.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Another round?
Cooper sips his drink. Ray pours two more.
Cheers.
Dale sinks more bourbon. Cooper begrudgingly does likewise. He glances at Dale, pipe-lipped. Dale raises his finger.
One more.
Cooper holds up his hand.
No, not for me. I gotta get going.
Ray serves another.
That is true. City Slicker.
Dale downs it.
Mr. Fucking Coop.
Dale turns to Cooper.
Get out of my face.
Cooper barely looks at him.
Get out of my home.
Cooper's eyes dart around nervously, then fix on Dale. Cooper leans to Dale, scowling.
I know you put the snakes in my house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's try and prove that.
Cooper turns his body so he's facing Dale.
Let me give you some advice. Don't you ever come to my house again. And if you harm one hair on my family's head, I will kill you. Ooh.
Dale bites his knuckle in mock fear.
Did you hear that, Sheriff? This man's threatening my life.
Sheriff phones and watches from the store area, her face hardened. Dale wanders back to the pool table, grinning smugly. Cooper stares coldly. Sheriff Ferguson wanders round the store. Straightening up, Cooper bumps his head on a stained glass lampshade. He steadies the shade and looks at Ray.
How much?
Ruby leans on the pool table as Dale makes a foul shot. Ruby grins and leans away. Dale glares at her and walks round the table. As Ruby drapes herself all over Dale, he fumes. He punches her to the ground.
You ever fucking shut up?
Dale,
just never shut the fuck up, do you, Ruby?
Everyone stares as Ruby shakily gets to her feet. She leans towards Dale and points at him.
You're not a man. You're not a fucking man, Dale!
Oh, yeah? You gotta keep talking to me? Is that it?
A guy pulls Dale back and he punches him. Another guy grabs Dale and he beats him against the pinball machine. Sheriff Ferguson moves in with a gun inches from Dale's head.
Enough! Enough! Back the fuck away, Massey! Back up! Step away!
Dale straightens his shirt.
I got enough to throw you back inside for the next 5 years, you piece of shit. Annie, you touch my sister ever again.
No.
I swear to God, it'll be the last thing you ever fucking do.
Annie, you didn't touch me, okay? I fell. I've been drinking and I fell. He didn't touch me, okay? You made your point.
Dale stares at Sheriff Ferguson, who shakes her head in disbelief.
Are we done?
Get the fuck out of here.
She clips her gun into her holster. Without a second look, Dale marches out. Preoccupied, Cooper picks up his cartons of milk and walks out. Cooper walks briskly to his Jeep Grand Cherokee, gets in, and drives off. Cooper drives through the night, headlights on full. Disturbed, he runs his hand down his face as he heads along a dirt road past a field full of lush crops. The Jeep stirs up dust in its wake. Cooper passes a side road where Dale's red pickup truck is parked. Dale starts his pickup and pulls out. With the headlights, side lights, fog lights on, and the five spotlights on the cab roof blazing, he drives up behind Cooper. Cooper looks in his mirror anxiously as the vehicle thunders along close behind him. The Grand Cherokee rips up the crops at the roadside as it tears along. Cooper anxiously leans forward in his seat as he races down the dirt road. The pickup stays on Cooper's tail as he hurtles round a corner. Cooper's face is taut in concentration. His eyes constantly flick up towards his rearview mirror as he speeds along between lines and bushes. Cooper takes another sharp turn, swerving all over the place. The pickup's still close behind. Further along, a small fawn steps out into Cooper's light. He slams on his brakes. God! The fawn's knocked down. One of the Jeep's headlights hangs loose. The pickup stops just behind Cooper, who leans out of his window and looks back. A deer trots into some bushes. Wide-eyed with terror, Cooper drives on. The pickup stays put, the spotlight glowing an intense white. The spotlights go out. Next morning...
Bloody and broken, and everybody's out there. Mom's out there. She seems a little bit mad. So what happened? Did you have an accident? Did you hit something? Did you hit another car? What happened?
Stan's squatting by the car.
What'd you hit?
It was a deer. Couldn't stop. Jumped right in front of me.
Must have been doing quite a clip.
What happened to you last night? Mom! Dad, come here!
What?
Hurry up! There's something over here! Come on!
What's going on?
What's wrong?
Kristen leads them to the pool.
What?
The water is red.
Oh, God! Cooper!
Kristen covers her face. Chester is lying dead in the pool.
You killed my pony!
No.
Chris,
wait up. Oh. Wait for me.
No. Oh, my God.
Oh! Kristen!
You want us to take care of this, Mr. T?
I didn't do this. I didn't hit the pony.
Stan and Dink stand around, bemused. Cooper runs to Leah by the trellis.
Just leave her alone. She's crying.
It was Dale.
Oh.
Last night at the bar, there was this thing. It was a fight. And Dale
Were
and
you
I
drinking?
Spoke.
Her arms folded, Leah looks tearfully at Cooper, who shifts uneasily.
Yes. But I did not kill Chester.
How many?
He breathes heavily.
So you were drinking, and you hit a deer. You were absolutely sure that it was a deer.
Yes, I was absolutely sure it was a deer. Leah, you have got to believe me. Last night, Dale, he would have killed Stan if the sheriff hadn't drawn a gun on him. And he punched out his girlfriend, and if the sheriff hadn't been there, I don't know what would have happened.
Let's get out of here. Right now. Whatever is happening, okay? We promised we would never put these kids at risk. Let's just go back.
Go back to what? We already sold the house. There is no place to go back to. This is our house. This is our house.
Beside herself, Leah marches past Cooper. His mouth twitches and he blinks. Later, Cooper follows Sheriff Ferguson to her squad car.
So what, you're not going to do anything about this?
Well, I didn't say that. I'm going to talk to him, and I'm going to give him an unofficial warning. I'm going to tell him to keep off your property, and hopefully that will cool things off.
That will not do a damn thing.
Well.
She opens the car door.
Then maybe you should take your family back to the city.
She takes off her hat and gets in the car. Cooper leans in the open window.
Hey, I will not be intimidated by a thug.
You have it your own way, Mr. Tilson. I am just trying to help here. Why don't you call me when you got something to show me?
Sheriff Ferguson drives away. Cooper sighs, then looks round. Later, Kristen is sitting on a swing hanging from a tree branch. Jesse's standing nearby. Cooper walks up behind Kristen. She stares at the ground.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, son.
Cooper stands behind Kristen. She doesn't move.
Kristen.
Cooper steps round and holds onto the swing rope.
Listen, honey.
Cooper squats down in front of her.
Sweetheart.
He gazes up at her.
I know you think that I did a terrible thing. I swear to you, I didn't do it.
He touches her hand. She pulls away.
My life, honey. I didn't do it.
Dad.
Dad wouldn't kill Chester. And he's probably gonna kill whoever did it.
All right, that's enough, Jesse.
Kristen doesn't look at Cooper as he stands up.
Cross my heart and hope to die.
Kristen tearfully glances at Cooper. He touches her face and puts his hands around her shoulders. Kristen stands up and Cooper hugs her tightly to him. Her face is consumed with emotion.
Did anyone do such a horrible thing?
In town, Dale, wearing jeans, t-shirt, baseball cap and shades, strolls past a group of boys in baseball uniforms.
Hey, fellas.
Hello.
Janice emerges from a store.
Is that you, Janice?
She turns to him.
Oh, you're looking good.
Dale Massey. And when are we going to have the pleasure of your company?
Soon. I've just been so busy sorting everything out at the house.
Right.
You walking?
Yeah.
They stroll together.
He seems like a nice man.
Who's that?
Mr. Tilson.
He's married, Janice. He's got kids.
I didn't mean like that, Dale. I just meant he seems like a nice guy.
So you met him, huh?
Yeah.
Where at?
Came by to visit your father the other day.
Dale stares at Janice.
Why?
Holding his shades, he shifts on his feet.
He was making a documentary about the house. I wanted to ask some questions.
His mouth parted in silent rage. Dale turns and purposefully marches down the street. Janice watches fearfully. Cooper, Leah, Kristen, and Jesse are sitting in a booth at Pinsky's. Ruby serves them plates of food.
Excuse me.
Dale comes in. Dale marches over and leans behind Cooper.
You are a piece of work, man. Accusing me of trespassing? Did I say anything when it was my house? When I was stuck in jail, you were caught red-handed going through the place. Did I say anything? No, I didn't. Goddamn thing. I wouldn't do that.
He sits on the pool table and looks at the tables of drinkers.
You had all my personal photographs. Lorna, the kids. All laid out on the table. On bulletin boards. Real personal stuff to me.
Ruby, can I get a check, please?
Ain't it cool? I mean, you come tap dancing in here, you grab the property out from under a guy who's late on a few payments.
He half smiles.
Guess what he paid for the property and the contents? Joe, take a guess. What do you think it was worth? Your place about the same size, right?
Million.
Five?
Try 210 grand.
What? Whoa.
How about that?
Cooper listens uncomfortably.
How much you getting for that movie about my family?
Dale puffs on a cigarette.
Huh?
Cooper turns his head slightly and swallows.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be sure and buy the DVD with that $50 I got for fixing your pool.
I mean, here I am.
Dale stands.
I'm doing my level best to try and be a good neighbor, right? And you accuse me of being some kind of sadistic prick.
Ignoring Dale, Cooper takes change from his pocket and pays the bill.
Well, I guess you're just trying to protect your family the best way you can. But what I've done wrong, I own up to it like a man, and I set things straight. That's what I do, Cooper.
Cooper stands.
We'll have our time, Massey. This isn't it.
I think you're full of shit, Cooper. That's what I think. Why don't we go outside right now, you and me?
Hit him dead. Knock his brains out.
See?
Let's go.
When your man starts pointing fingers, he better be ready to back it up, don't you think?
Ruby, I got no beef with Mrs. Tilson.
Out the car.
Kristen, get in the car.
It's that motherfucker right there that's pissing me off.
Hammerhead will smash your skull. Hammerhead will bash your brains.
Right,
throw you down the devil's throat.
Jesse, who's wearing his combat jacket and hat, points at Dale. Cooper picks him up and follows Leah and Kristen out of the door. Dale stares ahead, shaken. His eyes fill with tears, and he looks grief-stricken. Later, Cooper drives up in front of Cold Creek Manor. Cooper, Leah, Kristen, and Jesse get out of the Grand Cherokee. All except Cooper go to the house. Heavy-browed, Cooper watches his family go inside. Cooper holds his head for a moment and kicks the gravel beneath his feet. He paces around disconsolately. Cooper runs his hand across the back of his neck and stares at the ground. He shoves his hands in his pockets, then squats down and stares at the strand of wire poking out of the gravel. He rests his arms on his knees, then reaches down and touches it. Cooper takes a pen from his jacket and hooks it under the piece of curved wire. It's attached to some plastic. Captivated, Cooper starts to dig it out of the gravel. Cooper digs his pen in on all sides. The plastic to which the wire is attached is caked in grey gravel chips. Cooper looks up briefly, then takes a piece of paper from his pocket. He holds the paper near the ground and hooks the object onto it. Cooper sits in his study examining the item he picked up off the drive. He uses a pair of tweezers to hold the wire item and a second pair to break off the dirt that clings to it. Cooper uses a desk-mounted magnifying glass to see what he's doing. The item turns out to be a dental brace. He places it on an illuminated film cell examining panel and picks another item out of the dirt on the desk. It's a tooth. He dusts it off with a small dry paintbrush, then holds it up under the magnifying glass. He holds the brace up alongside a tooth and fits them together. Someone creeps around the study doorway and watches him, unawares Cooper carries on working. He picks up a box containing the photographs he found in the house and flicks through them. He finds one of a girl of about 8 smiling. He holds the photo under the magnifying glass and sees the girl is wearing a brace. He holds the brace alongside the picture and finds the one in the picture is a match for the one he found. With a concerned expression, he puts the photo and the brace down, then starts as he realizes Leah is watching him.
He killed his children.
She stands, arms folded, staring transfixed at the items on the desk. Cooper glances back to them, then gets up and goes over to Leah. He puts his arms around her and hugs her. His eyes wide as he thinks.
I want you to get the kids out of here. I want you to take them back to the city.
What?
To New York. Just get them out of here.
What?
You stay with Tina.
No.
Okay?
You have to come.
Look, just pack enough clothes for a couple of days. I'll come as soon as I can.
What?
I just have to find you.
What?
I have to find more...
What?
More evidence.
They stare at each other. Then Leah looks back at the brace and teeth resting on the film examination panel. Later, Cooper sees Leah and the children off. She drives them away in the Jeep Grand Cherokee. Now alone, Cooper walks through the woods on the farm. He carries a map which he stops and refers to from time to time. Cooper stops amongst the trees and looks around him, catching his breath, then walks on. He comes to a halt, having seen something up ahead. He walks slowly forwards towards a wrecked car lying in a small gully with a stream running through it. He goes over to the car and picks its license plate up off the ground. He cleans the muck off the license plate and stares thoughtfully at it. Later, back at the house, he examines the footage he took of old man Massey.
Bang with a hammer, bang with a hammer, till they were all dead. Bang with a hammer, bang with a hammer, till they were all dead. All of them.
Thoughtful, Cooper rewinds the clip.
Always there.
He frowns as he listens, then plays some more.
Tammy, Brady, Lorna.
He rewinds.
Always there. Tammy, Brady, Lorna.
Later, Cooper drives into town in the blue pickup truck. He parks up and gets out, carrying a small holdall. He puts the bag over his shoulder and goes into the sheriff's office.
Straight into the brain. Dad, give me another shot.
Annie, the sheriff, has all the evidence Cooper has gathered laid out on her desk. She watches the film of Old Man Massey.
Down a devil's throat.
Jesus Christ.
She turns the film off and looks at Cooper.
What is the devil's throat?
I have no idea. Mr. Tilson, this is all circumstantial. This won't hold up in court of law.
She licks her lips and leans forwards.
You say you think they're buried somewhere on your property? Just how big?
1,200 acres. I'll search here for your inch of it if I have to.
Well, there are two issues here. Both are relating to Del Massey. He's a piece of shame. But I don't think he's a murderer. I mean, I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe that he murdered his wife and his two small kids. But, I mean, he is on to you. You have absolutely pissed him off. You should be careful. So here's what I'm going to do.
The sheriff gets up from her desk and goes over to her cabinet. She opens it and takes out a red plastic basket.
I'll give you a walkie. It's a secure channel. Keep it with you. If you need anything, you just holler. I'm going to check in with you on a regular basis. I will check this all out just to be sure. I got Johnny Roth does everybody's teeth around here. I'm going to run that engine number, all right?
Cooper knocks. He gets up and takes his stuff with him. As he steps out onto the street, he's watched by Dale, who sits across the road in his red pickup truck. As Cooper gets into his own pickup, Dale drags on a roll-up cigarette. He wears sunglasses and his camouflage pattern baseball cap. Back at the house, Cooper is in the study. He gets on the phone. In a New York bedroom, the phone rings. Leah walks into the room to pick it up.
Hey, Mom.
Got it.
Cooper.
Hi. So you made it. Everyone okay?
In the New York living room, Kristen and Jesse pick up the phone and listen in.
I'm so close. I swear that everything is going to be all right.
Cooper, this is destroying all of us.
Leah, do you remember the other day in the diner when Jesse shouted something at Dale? Something about the devil's throat.
You remember that? I need to talk with him about that.
Cooper, we can't drag the kids into this. They've been through enough. They're traumatized enough already.
Just this one thing. It's the key to everything. If I can find...
Cooper?
Leah? Leah? Hello?
Cooper? Shit.
Leah hangs up. Back at the house, Cooper dials again as he walks down a corridor. He stands near some open French windows and listens to the handset. Later, he picks up the walkie-talkie the sheriff gave him and switches it on.
Sheriff Ferguson, come in.
Sheriff Ferguson.
The sheriff closes her office door.
Howdy, Mr. Tilson.
Listen, something strange. My phone just went down. Is your phone working?
Yeah, it is, but maybe not for long. We got a storm blowing in. Listen. I ran that Honda number and it matches. That's Lorna's car, all right.
Now, don't get too excited. It's just circumstantial.
Yes, but maybe I'm not crazy.
Possible.
Anything's possible. I'll swing by later on. Over.
Back in New York.
Mom. Mom.
Yeah.
We have to talk to you.
Sure.
Sure.
Jesse walks forward with the scrapbook he found at the house. At the nursing home, Mr. Massey is lying on his back in bed asleep. Dale comes in wearing a clean check shirt. He walks over to his father's bedside, leans over him, and kisses him on the forehead. Dale takes a seat at the bedside and looks at his father, who gradually wakes from his slumber. Mr. Massey slowly turns his head towards Dale. The old man opens his eyes.
You fix that front gate?
Yes, sir. I took care of it on Tuesday. I put in 3 new hinge bolts. She's as good as new. Hey, look. I brought your favorite.
Dale holds up a box of chocolate cherries and smiles. He puts it down on the bedside, then turns back to his dad.
Sir.
You lost the farm.
Where'd you hear a crazy thing like that, sir? That's not true. Here. Have a chocolate. I got the ones with the dark chocolate.
Don't you lie to me, boy. You're the corrupt spawn of your whoring mother.
Dale looks down sheepishly.
I saw it. I saw you.
Shut up, please. Please, sir, just shut up.
I saw everything. Everything you did. She told you she was leaving you and taking the kids. They weren't even your kids. You couldn't even make babies. Useless. You're not even a man.
Dale gets up and walks around the bed.
Not even a man.
The old man laughs to himself, and Dale walks over to a basin. He turns a tap on and holds a flannel under the running water, soaking it through.
You couldn't kill an animal. But you killed them. Yeah. What'd you do with the bodies, boy?
Dale walks over to the bedside.
I buried them, sir.
Is that what you did, boy?
Yeah.
Dale smiles weakly, fighting back tears.
Ready for a cherry, sir?
He turns to the chocolates.
Is she good?
He picks one out of the box. His dad smiles. He puts it in his dad's mouth. The old man grins, holding it between his teeth for a moment, then munches it.
A little chocolate here.
Dale dabs at the corner of his father's mouth with the wet flannel. Dale suddenly forces the flannel over his father's mouth and nose, smothering him. The old man grabs Dale's arm as he fights for life.
She was doing it with everyone.
The old man stares wide-eyed.
You're with everyone, she told me. Everyone.
Dale clamps the flannel harder over his father's face. The old man struggles, but gradually his struggles weaken until finally he runs out of air and lies still. Dale removes the flannel from his father's face. The old man's bulging eyes stare sightlessly up at his murderous son. Dale looks down at his dad and cocks his head to one side. Dale washes the flannel out under the tap, then puts it on the side of the basin. He looks up and stares at his reflection in the mirror. His features crease with emotion, and he mouths something to himself.
Nurse!
He screws his face up and sobs. At the manor, a strong wind blows the French window's curtains around. Paperwork blows about on a desk, and pictures and cuttings pinned on a notice board flap in the strong breeze. In another room, Cooper tips out a box of paperwork. He opens a chest and pulls out its contents. He marches into another room full of junk and starts hunting through the bric-a-brac. He unrolls a map, looks briefly at it, then discards it. He checks another map and discards that. As he sifts through more maps and charts, the outline of someone is visible through the drape covering the doorway. Sensing someone, Cooper looks up from the paperwork and creeps over to the doorway. As the person draws close to the doorway, Cooper throws a punch through the drape, flooring the person on the other side. He pulls the drape aside.
Oh my God! Leah! Leah! Leah? Are you all right?
Stunned, she looks up at him.
I know where it is.
What?
The Devil's Throat. The kids found it when we first moved in. I got 2 speeding tickets trying to get here.
He smiles at her.
I'm so sorry, I didn't believe you.
She smiles up at him, her eyes full of unshed tears. Leah reaches up to Cooper, cups his face in her hands and kisses him. It's dusk as Leah and Cooper speed down a track on the farm in the blue pickup. It pulls up by some woods and they get out of the vehicle.
God, we have brilliant children.
Yes, we do.
At the sheriff's office.
Annie, go ahead for smoke break. Hi. Yeah, this is Sheriff Ferguson. I had a question for Dr. Roth. No, I understand. Are you his assistant? What I wanted to know was, did he treat the Massey children, Tammy and Grady?
Cooper and Leah.
Look, there's an edge.
They clear some undergrowth away.
Take this off.
The evil sign. They lift some logs out of the way. They crouch down and pull up a large sheet of chipboard which is covered in leaves. Underneath it is a deep hole in the ground.
Oh my God.
Holding hands, they peer down into the darkness at their feet.
Oh, Jesus.
The sheriff has left her office. Ruby comes into the reception area.
Annie, I'm here.
She sees the office is empty and turns to the receptionist.
Hey,
scratching her head, Ruby takes a seat outside the open office door. A deputy strolls up to the receptionist's desk and chats with her. Back in the woods, night is falling. Cooper unzips a bag.
I'm gonna lower the video camera, see what's down there.
The camera is wrapped in a waterproof cover. He switches it on.
It's on.
He takes a flashlight from the bag.
Here.
He hands it to Leah, then takes a length of yellow rope from the bag and ties the camera to one end of it. Leah shines the torch down the hole, then turns to Cooper.
You know, it's getting dark. Maybe we should come back tomorrow.
5 more minutes. All right? And we'll go. Night vision. Okay, hold the light.
She shines the torch down the hole while he lowers the camera in its waterproof cover into the hole on the end of the rope. The camera reaches water in the hole. Cooper keeps paying out the rope and the camera submerges. The line in his hand goes slack, indicating the bottom's been reached.
Down.
He begins pulling the rope back up. The camera emerges above the surface of the water and he pulls it back up the narrow shaft towards the top. Leah keeps the torch beam on the camera as it comes up. Cooper pulls the camera in over the lip of the hole.
Here.
He undoes the waterproof cover and takes the camera out. He opens the small viewing screen on the side of the camera and rewinds the tape. Cooper walks over to Leah and they watch the tape together.
Wait.
What?
I saw something go back.
Where?
Just back a few frames, yeah.
He rewinds a little way, and they watch the section of tape again.
What was that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The small screen is filled with the image of a decayed face, the lips spotted away, revealing the teeth beneath. Revolted, Cooper and Leah go away. The walkie-talkie.
Yes, Sheriff. Sheriff, I read you. Listen, we found the devil's throat. They're down there, the bodies. We're close by. Listen, just take the back road, cut across the first field, and you're going to see my pickup truck. I'll come meet you.
Back at the police station, Ruby is still waiting for Annie. As she waits, her foot twitches and she plays with her hair. She looks into Annie's office and spots something which attracts her attention. Ruby gets up. Cooper hurries out of the trees and arrives by the pickup truck.
Sheriff, I don't see you!
He shines his flashlight on one of the pickup's wheels and sees the tire is flat. Puzzled, he walks around the vehicle and shines his light on one of the other tires. It, too, is flat. Leo waits at the mouth of the devil's throat. She shines her flashlight down the hole. Hearing someone approaching from behind her, she spins around. The beam of her torch picks out the sheriff's coat and badge, her broad-brimmed hat obscuring her face. In the sheriff's office, Ruby looks over Annie's blood-spattered desk and sees Annie lying on the floor behind it. Her head and hand twitches involuntarily.
Oh, my God.
Sheriff, do you read me? What is your position?
Devil's throat, Mr. Tilson.
Dale's dressed as the sheriff.
Hi, Leah.
He steps forward and pushes her down the devil's throat. The beam of Cooper's flashlight skitters erratically across the trees as he runs through the woods. Leah is submerged in the water at the bottom of the devil's throat. She swims up to the surface and gasps for air. Hearing her screams, Cooper runs on through the woods. Leah crawls out of the water in the devil's throat and crouches on a muddy strip beside it.
Leah!
She looks up to the opening.
Cooper!
Hang on!
Cooper, it's Dale! It's Dale! It's Dale! Look out!
Cooper throws the rope down to her.
Cooper!
She grabs hold of it.
Leah! You're gonna be all right. Brad, that's fine.
Ah!
I'm here, honey. I'm here. I'm not gonna let you go.
Cooper, he's up there!
Worry about that. Come on, just get out of here.
Leah starts to climb up the muddy sides of the devil's throat, pulling herself up on the rope.
Take another step, honey.
Cooper looks down at her.
That's it.
Hearing a noise, Cooper shines his flashlight into the trees, then turns his attention back to Leah.
Come on, honey. Grab the rope. Keep holding the rope.
He shines his torch down onto her.
Come on, baby.
She gets to the top and he reaches down to her.
I got you. Come on.
He puts the flashlight down on the ground and hauls her up out of the hole. They hurry back through the woods as the storm begins to break.
We'll take the jeep. We'll get to a payphone. Call the sheriff.
It starts to rain heavily.
I saw them in there.
They get to the edge of the woods and see the house up ahead.
Oh, my God!
The jeep parked in front of the house suddenly bursts into flames. They break cover and go over to it.
Son of a bitch!
Leah is hobbling, having hurt her ankle. Cooper supports her.
Let's get the house!
They head past the blazing vehicle and go into the house. Cooper shuts the door and locks it behind him. He turns to look at Leah.
What are we gonna do?
Let's have a look at your ankle. Come on.
As Leah perches on the table, the lights in the house flicker. They look up at the chandelier above them and around the house. Suddenly they're plunged into darkness. Fearfully, they back away from the table towards the bottom of the stairs. Dale appears outside and runs towards one of the windows. He smashes it with a killing hammer and steps inside. Dale smashes up Cooper's video equipment in the study. In the darkened hall, Cooper whispers to Leah.
Give me the flashlight. Go upstairs. Hide. Go. Come on.
Leah heads off up the stairs. In the study, Dale vents his anger on the video equipment. He then smashes the glass case containing the other killing hammer.
Come on, motherfucker!
Upstairs, Leah waits fearfully in a darkened corridor. A figure creeps up behind her, stealthily extends a hand and clamps it over her face to stifle her scream.
It's me.
Let's go this way.
They head off down the gloomy corridor. They walk slowly down the corridor towards a stairwell up ahead. Suddenly, Dale's hammer smashes through a door to the left. They turn and run back down the corridor. Dale smiles to himself and goes after them. They get to another door.
Open!
Won't open!
Trap!
Cooper ushers Leah up another flight of stairs. Dale reaches the foot of the stairs and looks up. Leah and Cooper emerge onto the rain-lashed roof of the house. Cooper shuts and locks the door behind them.
Come on!
Dale's hammer smashes through the door. Cooper and Leah back away as a grinning Dale emerges onto the roof.
You guys should have stayed in New York. This isn't the place for you. You know nothing about farming.
Dale, what are you doing? What do you want?
A little too late for what, Leah? Do is something, though. What am I gonna do? I'm gonna smash both your skulls in and throw you down the devil's throat. That's what I'm gonna do. How'd you like it down there, huh? You see my family down there? You meet them? What, you gonna throw those at me?
Oh!
Try and hit me, yeah.
They throw roofing slates at him. Cooper hits him in the head.
Oh, fuck!
Bloody, Dale advances on them.
No good, Cooper. I could have fucked her any time I wanted. Just like the rest of them. Bunch of fucking whores.
Cooper grabs an aluminium stepladder and uses it to block Dale's hammer blows. Leah watches fearfully as Cooper rushes Dale, pushing him back with the ladder. He forces Dale back against a skylight, but Dale shoves him away and Cooper falls. Dale hits him in the ribs with the hammer.
Did I hear a bone crack, Coop?
Leah pulls Cooper back. Dale drops the hammer and picks up the ladder, which he hurls off the rooftop. He turns and grins at Leah and Cooper, then bends down and picks up the hammer again. He takes a couple of steps towards his victims.
Let me tell you what's gonna happen. It's only fair that you should know. It's gonna be real quick, real painless. Blow to each one of your heads, and then I'm gonna throw your bodies down that hole. That's it. I got a question for you, though.
Leah passes Cooper a length of rope.
You think I'm nuts? Quick, yes or no?
No.
Wrong.
He grins at the fearful couple.
I got another question. Yeah?
He smiles cheerily at them.
You know what? Fuck it. Fuck it. Let's just do it. Get up.
I said get up! Now!
Cooper glances at Leah and she nods. Holding the rope between them behind their backs, they get to their feet.
Got anything you want to say? Any last words?
Leah grimaces. Then the couple charge forward. They run either side of Leah, the rope catching him around the throat, and force him back against the skylight.
Keep it tight, Leah!
Cooper ties his end off, and Leah holds hers tight, keeping Dale trapped. Cooper gets the hammer.
Looking for that!
Dale struggles, and Cooper swings the hammer into his leg.
What's the matter, Dale? Did I hear a bone crack? How's it feel,
Dale? You fuck!
Cooper swings the hammer again, cracking a pane of the glass behind Dale. He steps away and looks over at Leah, who still holds the rope tight. She nods at him, and Cooper turns back to Dale.
Get out of my house!
He swings the hammer again, smashing the skylight pane. Dale falls backwards through it, crashes through the stained glass skylight below it, and plummets the huge height of the house onto the hall floor below. He lies motionless on his back. Cooper and Leah peer down at him through the broken skylight. Blood seeping from his nose, Dale stares dead-eyed back up at them. The picture fades to black. The Manor Cemetery, near an old weathered gravestone belonging to Jeremiah Massey, is a fresh one inscribed Massey, Dale Massey, 1971 to 2003. Ruby crouches down in front of the headstone and puts a single red rose in a vase beside it. She caresses the bloom, then stands up, puts her hands in the pockets of her leather jacket, and looks over towards the old Massey house. After a moment, she turns and walks away. The picture freezes on her and fades to black. Jesse and Kristen play in the swimming pool with an inflatable beach ball. Leah stands at an open window in a summer dress watching them. She smiles. Jesse picks the beach ball up and knocks it back to Kristen. Leah keeps watching her children from the window. The picture again fades to black. Cooper stands alone on the drive where he found the murdered girl's brace. He looks thoughtfully down the drive, then backs away and turns towards the house. He goes past the blue pickup truck with its fresh new tires. Cooper disappears into the house through the front door. Cold Creek Manor basks peacefully in the sunshine as the picture fades to black. ITFC audio description was read by James O'Hara. Directed by Mike Figgis. Written by Richard Jeffries. Produced by Annie Stewart and Mike Figgis. Executive producers Latta Ryan, Richard Jeffries. Director of Photography Declan Quinn. Production designed by Leslie Dilley. Edited by Dylan Tichenor, ACE. Costume designer Marie-Sylvie DeVoe. Original score composed by Mike Figgis. Casting by Amanda Mackay Johnson and Kathy Sandridge Gelfond, CSA. Dennis Quaid. Sharon Stone. Cold Creek Manor. Stephen Dorff. Juliet Lewis. Kristen Stewart. Ryan Wilson, Dana Eskelson, and Christopher Plummer. A Mike Figgis film. Unit Production Manager Brian Campbell, First Assistant Director David Webb, Second Assistant Director Jack Boehm. Cast: Cooper Tilson, Dennis Quaid, Leah Tilson, Sharon Stone, Dale Massey, Stephen Dorff, Ruby, Juliette Lewis, Kristen Tilson, Kristen Stewart, Jesse Tilson, Ryan Wilson, Sheriff Ferguson, Dana Eskelson, Mr. Massey, Christopher Plummer, Ray Pinsky, Simon Reynolds, Ellen Pinsky, Kathleen Duborg, Stephanie Pinsky, Paula Brancati, Skip Linton, Aidan Devine, Stan Holland, Wayne Robson, Declan, Jordan Petal, Dink, Ray Paisley, Janice, Shauna Black, Dave Miller, Peter Outerbridge, Tina, Karen Glaive, Antique Dealers, Leslie Dilly, George Buser, Crossing Guard, Paulette Sinclair, Gang Member, Sean Corson, Robert Maratta, Tommy Brewster, Team Eliminator, John Bayliss, Locals, Daniel Cash, Tim Zemanek, Stephanie Morgenstern, Raoul Baneja, Philip Williams, Jay Bogdan, Preacher, Stan Coles, Clerk, Jill Fleischman, Police Officers, Gary Johnson, Brian Colbeck, John C. Warwick. Songs: All My Exes Live in Texas, written by Sanger Schaefer, Linda J. Schaefer, performed by George Strait, courtesy MCA Nashville, under license from Universal Music Enterprises. American Boy, written by Shy Boy, Newbar, Jeeve, Sandy Brown, performed by Hypnogadja, courtesy of Access Denied Music, by arrangement with Penn Music Group, Inc. Up for Grabs, written by John Porter, performed by John Porter with the Converse All-Stars, courtesy of JPP, Inc., by arrangement with Network Management. On the Road Again, written by Alan Wilson, Floyd Jones, performed by Canned Heat, courtesy of EMI Records under license from EMI Film and Television Music. Soundtrack available on Hollywood Records. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. Special thanks: Apple Computer, Daimler Chrysler, Kawasaki, WNYC Radio, Lad Lanford, Pacific Title, John Peterson, Pivotal Post, Al Cirullo, Hover Views Unlimited, Toronto Film and Television Office, Township of North Dumfries, City of Toronto, filmed in part at Toronto Film Studios. Film footage provided by Image Bank Film by Getty Images. Photographs used with permission of the Archives of Ontario. Map of Cambridge area used with permission of Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources. Copyright 1983, Queen's Printer, Ontario. Titles and optical specific title. Prints by Technicolor. Copyright 2003, Touchstone Pictures. This motion picture was created by Cold Creek Manor Productions Limited for purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution, Cold Creek Manor, the Touchstone Pictures logo.